Hello, thank you for tuning in. You are listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit biteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is J.S. Drake. She is the author of May I Only Leave Rose Petals. May I Only Leave Rose Petals is a compilation of poetry about rediscovering the truth of one's innate divinity in the face of great pain, darkness, fear, and separation. It is a catalyst to inspire, ignite, and lift people out of the darkness and to the light. Experience a journey to wholeness through the dark night of the soul. 9 chapters, The Forgetting to the Homecoming, take you through a profound inner journey, be inspired to choose love again and again, only to leave a trail of rose petals. Jesse's book is available from Amazon.com. With that, I'd like to welcome Jesse to the show. Good day, Jesse.
Thank you, Robert. Good day. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. It's such an honor to be on the show.
Thank you very much. I'm really looking forward to our chat because your book, the topic of your book and how you deal with darkness is something that I think a lot of people would like to talk about but don't. So I'm glad that we're going to be able to have a discussion about that today. So I'd like to start with, why don't we start with what inspired you to write May I Only Leave Rose Petals?
What inspired me to write May I Only Leave Rose Petals? I would have to say through my childhood experiences, there was a time where I lost my best friend when I was 16 years of age, and she died in a car accident. And that really propelled me to experience a lot of darkness and pain. And what happens with loss is it leads us to a place within ourselves where we almost have to discover the light within ourselves in the darkness, because loss really does take us to that place. And so when I went through that period of time of darkness and started writing poetry to help myself through it, it really inspired me to want to reach out and help others in similar circumstances or just in their own pain or dark night of the soul.
Yeah. So were you, had you written poetry, poems before that happened, or was that something new that came along afterwards?
I've always been a writer ever since childhood, but the poems that really came to fruition that are in the book, May I Only Leave Rose Petals, came after that loss.
Okay, so why the title, May I Only Leave Rose Petals?
Well, that's an interesting question, because originally I was going to call it The Light That Can Never Be Extinguished, because that's one of the first poems of the book. And I thought that was a great title as well. But one day I was sitting in meditation and really contemplating what I should title the book. And May I Only Leave Rose Petals just popped in my head. And the reason it did is because I heard it from a spiritual master who states, leave only a trail of rose petals wherever you go. And so through the process of the book, it really a coming to learn how to only leave rose petals, because in the beginning, through projection and being in victim stance and victimhood and in blame, I don't really leave a trail of rose petals. And I think all of us can relate to that, because really it was like a thorns of pain situation to petals of peace. So that's kind of how it progresses through the book, is from darkness to light, victimhood to mastery.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I love the title, and you know, it conjures up, you know, just visions of a legacy, you know, leaving a positive legacy, you know, and so anyway, I think that it's a really good selection. So now, The Dark Night of the Soul. Boy, can you explain to the listeners what your view of that is, what that dark night is?
Of course. So I really learned what the dark night of the soul conceptually is through reading about Eckhart Tolle. I know he's very popular in the spiritual communities, and he describes it as a collapse of perceived meaning in life and an eruption into your life of a deep sense of meaninglessness. And so before I had that definition, I would feel like my life had no meaning or I had no purpose to serve. And it felt like I wanted to leave Earth, didn't want to be here, because it just felt like there was no point. And this is a place many people often wonder whether their lives are worthwhile or not. And it is a place where many people face suicidal thoughts or thoughts of just not wanting to be here anymore. And that's exactly the place that I have been. And it truly brought me to a place of feeling like I was in this big dark hole of hopelessness, despair, fear, and meaninglessness. And it challenged me to face my inner demons. And I believe it came on for a variety of reasons, because whenever we do face a crisis or experience that invalidate or experience things that invalidate our meaning of life, then we do come face to face with this dark night of the soul. So, for example, losing my best friend in the car accident, it really brought me to that place. And there's many experiences that people can have that can bring them back to that place.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I mean, I've gone through it. You know, there have been, I'll admit it, you know, that it was, but it's, you know, and when you are experiencing, when that is your experience, it can be very difficult to work your way back. You know, because I mean, for me, I know that to me, that was, that's when I had to truly learn surrender, you know, and kind of,
yes.
Allow, this kind of turn everything over. I mean, it was kind of like, you know, everything I was doing, everything I was believing, you know, everything I thought was just, up in the air. I mean, it was just like, everything was shattered, you know. So, and when you're at that point, you kind of just have to, you know, turn it over to, you know, a higher power or whatever your belief system is that, you know, and do that letting go. And is that kind of, did you have that kind of experience?
Absolutely. The way you described it is very spot on. There is a point of surrender that you have to come to within yourself. And what's interesting about the dark nights of the soul, and I don't know if you've experienced this or the listeners have, but when you get in one, it's like all the tools, all the things that you've learned, all the wisdom that you have gained go out the window. it's so interesting because I know when I'm going through like a phase in my life where I'm feeling pretty good about my life and everything seems to be aligned, but then when I go into the dark night of the soul, it's like, whoa, like you're hit by this storm. And so I was really contemplating one time in meditation, okay, so what can I do to remember what I do know and the tools so that when I do get to that place, I'm not just drowning in the storm. And there's ways you can deal with that, like writing in like a journal entry and saying like, for times that I'm in the dark night of the soul, I will remember these things. Write down things that you can use to help pull yourself out. So that's one way. And another thing that I heard when I tuned into my higher self and God is that the dark night of the soul is like a huge storm. And you just have to realize that when it does come on, that it'll pass. No matter how deep in pain, hurt, or torment, or despair that you go. And the visualization that I got that really has stuck with me, that has helped me, is the dark night of the soul is like a freezing rain or hailstorm that chills you to the bone, where you feel alone, where you feel no one can reach you, like where you feel you can't even reach you. But the truth is that you can reach yourself in that place, and so can your higher power. And so if you imagine a loving, warm, safe light enveloping you and your connection with your most loving divine self, God, and you focus on that connection and that warmth and love erupting from you, and you focus on embracing and loving yourself just as you are, where you are, then it'll turn the freezing rain, hailstorm, into a cleansing, warm rain that brings you peace and clarity and love. And that's really just what stuck with me, because loving yourself, embracing all that you are, even the hurt parts, allows God's love to carry you.
Yeah, you know, it's, and those are great, a couple of great tips for people out there who may be experiencing that now to do now. Granted, you know, having the tip of, you know, writing down or having something handy to be able to refer back to kind of jolt your memory into, a better perspective, you know. And that's, it's a good thing if someone is in that spot right now where things are going good, things are flowing, jot it down, like you said, you know, go ahead and
yeah,
prepare yourself, because there will be a time, you know, most likely that things are going to change a little bit, and that will be handy. So now for you, how long of a period would you say was that dark period for you?
Honestly speaking, I would say that I go through dark nights of the soul like probably 2 to 3 times a year. Even just, it's like a growing process or growing pain.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And some aren't as deep as others. Probably the deepest that I've gone is, and where other people go very deep, is generally a tragedy or a huge shift in your life, such as losing a loved one, even losing a job, changing locations, or a sense of losing what you perceive to be you. So
mm-hmm.
we attach meanings to everything in our life. So if we get meaning, for example, from being a mother or being a father, and then our kids grow up and we become empty nesters, that can trigger a dark night of the soul, because your perceived meaning of having meaning in your life has completely changed. So it's within that experience, it invites us to not attach meaning to circumstances or things in our life, but more to our, I guess, soul or spiritual journey or who we are within, which really isn't a thing. It's ever changing and ever growing.
Yeah, well, that's really interesting because you're right. Whenever a common trigger for that would be the something traumatic, you know, the loss of something important, you know, and you know, I would think that that, you know, when that loss happens, like you say, you know, it kind of causes us to reflect and let go of something that we were attached to as something that defined us, or, you know, as far as our purpose or you know, meaning of life. But it seems then that, I mean, I don't think there's any avoiding that, you know, so
exactly.
It seems that since you can't avoid it, you know, you can prepare a little bit for it, but generally those things, you know, are usually unforeseen, quick, you know, those, I mean, something that's so significant that creates a trauma. So, I mean, it's, you know, sometimes it's hard to plan for that. So, you know, I would think that if you're experiencing that darkness, then I think that it really maybe is the stimulus for us to examine how we view our life as far as its meaning. In other words, it seems like, you know, maybe we attach our meaning to something or someone or some circumstances far more than, I wouldn't say it's appropriate, but I mean, that it's something that far more, you know, intense than we maybe should. I don't know if maybe we should, but I mean, it seems like it causes us to reexamine our attachments, and you know, and I think that when you know, people get to questioning, then it's, you know, then it creates shifts, and I guess one of the keys would be then how you react to those circumstances is going to be key in moving through that darkness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And with that, with the circumstances that we attach meaning to, I don't know about you, but I face this myself, the concept or the pattern of when I do this or when I accomplish this or when I get this thing, then I'll be happy, then I'll feel okay, then I will feel at peace. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's never enough. It's like you're trying to prove yourself, you're trying to find your worth in things and or accomplishments or what have you. And really what that invites us to do is surrender to exactly who we are and where we are in our life. The journey is the goal. So we often in our society, we feel like we have to journey to a goal, and uh-huh. The goal is, you know, the pinnacle, but
right.
The journey itself is the goal. So you don't journey to a goal, the journey is the goal. So all the processes that you go through in your self-discovery, in your growing, that if you can surrender to those growing pains and to all the colors and flavors of life, then you'll find peace no matter what the circumstances. Yes, you may have difficult times or challenges or even tragedies, but those people that surrender and see the gifts and see what that circumstance is inviting them to see, do, create, be, are the ones that really come out on the other side at peace, if that makes sense.
No, it does. No, it does very much. So, from your experience, you know, with someone who is going through that dark period, how can someone other than yourself help you through that? I mean, is this one? I mean, so what I'm wondering is, you know, if there's someone out there right now experiencing this, or let's say that there's a spouse or a family member of someone who's experiencing that. In your opinion, what can those individuals do to help someone who is having that dark experience?
I've actually been there before where I was on the side where I was the one in the dark night of the soul. But mm-hmm. my family and my husband were there through it all. They saw the, you know, hurting myself, the suicide attempts. They were there for all of that. So in those times, I did have to reach out to those individuals, and they reached out to me. And really what helped me the most and what I feel other people can do if they have a person that is struggling with the dark night of the soul is be there for that person, obviously, but be that affirming light and love. Like, even when the person is in their stuff and is not being, mm-hmm. you know, who you know they are within,
right.
and they're going through a tough period, see the light within the darkness, the pain, the sabotage. If you can reflect back that person's light and love, because they've lost it. They're in a space where they don't remember their own light. They don't even remember that they're love or from the creator or from the universe. They feel like they're, like, in that space, honestly, sometimes you feel like you are darkness. And that's where how I felt a lot of the time. So if I had somebody in my life when I was in that period, be able to just love me where I'm at and be unconditionally loving and say, this isn't you. I know who you are. You are love. You are light. You will get through this. I see the light within you. And it doesn't have to be those exact words. It can just be the mm-hmm. feeling they're giving you. Then that can help somebody be pulled out of that dark night of the soul.
Okay, because, you know, I right now have two people that are really kind of having that rough period. You know, one of them is closer to my age, and one of them is a 20-something-year-old. They both seem to have really a difficult time kind of seeing that light, you know, and I often, you know, ask myself, what I should be doing, you know, what I could be doing, I guess, you know, and to help out. And, you know, and for people who have had someone close to them commit suicide, you know, successfully.
Yeah.
It's I have seen it time and time again. The people left behind are like, why didn't I see it? Why didn't they come to me? Why didn't I go out to reach out to them? You know, I mean, there's all of that questioning, you know, after the fact. And, you know, so whenever, and I've had several around me, that happened to several people around me. So, you know, I try to be very sensitive, you know, to people who are going through that in trying to reach out. But sometimes, you know, if someone's in that dark period, sometimes they're not real receptive, you know, to maybe they don't want to see the light. You know what I mean? I mean, it's kind of like sometimes it's like whenever I've been in that kind of situation, it's been like, well, you know, you don't know what it's like, you know, I don't really, you know, I don't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it seems to me it's a really tough call, you know. I mean, you really want to help out, but you also recognize that it has to be something internal that the person has to recognize for themselves.
Exactly. And there's only so much you can do as far as in reaching them on a person-to-person level. And what I've actually found more powerful, and I have my own testimony of this, is I don't know if you've heard of it, but Ho'oponopono. Have you heard of that? Hawaiian.
Yeah, years ago. I haven't heard that in a long time, though.
Okay, so this is so powerful, and so I'll share this little story. My mom and I had been really, we were both in our dark nights of soul, I would say, at this time of my life. It was probably my early 20s, and we could not reach each other. It was like we were both just in our hurt, in our pain, in our despair. We couldn't even be in the same room without it blowing up and us having, like, rage attacks, like, screaming at
mm-hmm.
each other or that sort of thing. And it was very, very, very toxic. And so I read this little article on Ho'oponopono, and it means, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, I thank you. And it was about sending that person that love and light and prayer and saying that saying and imagining it reaching them, because there's a philosophy behind it that it just dissolves barriers between people and within themselves. And so I took this time, and it was a period of 2 weeks. I did it every night, and my mom and I had not been talking. And I kid you not, like at the end of the 2 weeks, she just came over one day, knocked on my door, and I opened the door, and she just said, I just want my daughter back. I just want my baby back. And she came in and hugged me, and we cried, and we started talking and connecting. And ever since then, we've really gotten on a very close level, a mother-daughter relationship that I didn't have when I was younger or through my teens. So, and that was just that Ho'oponopono practice. And sometimes prayer is so it is so powerful, and it reaches people on a far different level than physically talking to them. So those people that are in your lives that are going through their own stuff, you can kind of fall back on this and look it up and there's even a book on it that really goes in depth that really helped me as well. It's called Zero Limits, and that one's a great one too. And so that's another idea.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I think, you know, in dealing, I mean, that's one of those practices that is, it's kind of, I wouldn't say ethereal, but it's one of those things where you it doesn't require the actual interaction, you know, but it's sending out that sense of love and forgiveness and that welcoming radiance, you know, that that really can't be measured. Actually, I mean, so
absolutely.
To me, it's one of those things where it's kind of like, you know, if you don't know what to do, and direct contact hasn't proved useful, then that is an approach that can create a difference remotely.
Yes, absolutely. And there's the book Zero Limits is by Joe Vitale. For any of the listeners that are interested in Ho'oponopono, Zero Limits by Joe Vitale goes into far more depth of it.
Wow, that's great. Well, we're actually halfway through the show already, Jesse. We're just flying right by. So I'm going to take just a quick break, And I do want to invite listeners, if you would like to call in and ask any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to type them in. And then when we come back from the break, Jesse, I want you to explain how your book, your book is like how it's a journey through. I mean, how the progression of your collection of poems is a journey through that night. Okay.
Awesome. We'll see you. Okay. Thanks, Robert.
Great. Sure. Everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break. Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,400 shows we have had over the past 9 years. Also on the site is a link to the products and services we provide: books, photography, a wellness store, and self-publishing assistance. Our show is a free podcast on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can subscribe for free on any of those platforms by using the links on our website homepage. We are on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc. And we also have buttons to those platforms at the top of our homepage. Our website, biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show. Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us again today. My special guest is J.S. Drake. She's author of May I Only Leave Rose Petals. Again, it is a book available. Her book is available from Amazon.com, and shortly she will be having a website called ThisRoadITravel.com, and you'll be able to get information there. But just keep your eye open for that; it'll be up and coming. Okay, so with that, we're back, Jesse.
Hi.
Hey. Okay, great. So, tell us a little bit about the collection of poems and how it lays out a journey.
So through the book, May I Only Leave Rose Petals, it goes through stages of my life, and the poems portray the journey in the sense of the progression from the dark night of the soul to really feeling a lightness of being and coming home to the truth of who I am. And it's a psychological process of healing and integrating trauma and finding my way home. And so, for example, one of the first sections of the book is called The Forgetting. So that's really the place where we come into this world. And when we're children, we do kind of have a deep sense of knowing who we are. But through childhood traumas, through difficult circumstances, we more and more so shut off to who we are to protect ourselves. And we put up barriers and we lose sight of that light within. And so that's the process of the forgetting. And then after that, it goes into stages of feeling angry, feeling in despair, blaming, projection. And then towards the end of the book, it's really about coming home and letting go of the illusions and unveiling the truth of who we are.
Okay, so if a reader were to if someone is experiencing that darkness, that they would be able to, through your journey, kind of maybe start their own or model theirs after what you have done?
Yeah, actually, one of my readers said that it brought them through their own healing process by reading the book. Each stage of the journey of the reading helped them heal and go into their own illusions and pain of despair, and then come back, come around to the other side of finding the truth within themselves, as I was going through the journey.
Yeah. Did you expect to have the reader, was it your hope maybe that the readers would have that kind of experience?
I didn't foresee it at the time when I was writing the book. It just so happened that it was, I think, divinely guided to happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I could share a review of the book from Sarion Michael White. He's an author that wrote Roya Sands and The Bridge Between Worlds. And I can share his experience of it.
Please. Yeah, please do.
Okay, so he says, "May I Only Leave Rose Petals is so much more than a poetry book. It's really a journey from darkness into light that reveals every stage of a deep psychological process of healing and integrating trauma and finding the way home. There must have been a guiding force in how these poems were laid out, because they teach you something about the human experience that is profound, from our insanity to our redemption. Nice to be able to get so much out of a book that is also a very quick read and easy to understand and relate to. I applaud just because authenticity and courage to put something like this out into the world as it reveals her deepest, innermost thoughts. The book is fairly priced, but because I support emerging authors like Jessica, I paid $20 for it, and so did my friend that bought a copy with me. That was a gesture of encouragement, but honestly, when I got home and started reading it, what I found in it is priceless. I hope she gets all the support she deserves to encourage her to keep writing, as I believe it will only get better from here."
Well, how nice. That's great. And by the way, I also read the book reviews on Amazon, and they're all very glowing. You know, they're all very positive, and you know, the essence it seems that, you know, what you wrote, it was very much from the heart, you know, and it seemed that people were able to really tap into that heartfelt experience, you know, and connecting people emotionally like that can be a challenge, you know, and it seems you did it successfully. So that's a great thing. Now, did you have any, you know, because you're revealing, you know, this underbelly or this dark side, did you have any reservations about, I mean, you know, you obviously had your healing process, so did you have any reservations about putting it out there for the public to see and read and then discuss?
Absolutely, yes. That was actually one of the biggest hurdles, because it was the book truly is my innermost thoughts of my despair, the insanity of the ego mind, the mind that we feel that we get stuck in, basically, that runs our lives. And so really finding that place of calm within myself, that was a huge challenge. And you can see that through the poems. And as I go through my journey, it becomes easier and easier for me to find that peace within, find the answers within. But it was very vulnerable to put the book out there. But what's interesting, Robert, is that there's a healing process even now that it's out. Because it wasn't just the writing of it that was the healing. Because it wasn't like I wrote it and then I was done. Part of the journey was putting it out there and sharing it, and that unveiled even more healing work to do and to face and inner demons to face. And it's still like that even now. But that's what's funny is as I'm going through the healing process now, I got the insight one day to open my book to a random page because I was really deep in some emotional stuff. And I just heard from God, you know, go to your book and open to a random page. And it really was exactly what I needed to hear, which I found interesting. So it's like reintegrating what I shared in my book and applying it to my life even on a deeper level.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because when I talk to people who have written about their lives, you know, and there's that vulnerability, you know, there's a big fear, you know, because I mean, whenever you write anything, you're always going to have critics, you know, no matter what you
write. Absolutely.
Even if you're an Amazon bestseller, even if you're a New York Times bestseller, you're going to have your critics. So, you know, with that being said, you know, I have found that, you know, a lot of people in hindsight, you know, recognize that a lot of the things that they feared would happen, you know, didn't come to pass, and some unexpected joys and benefits that they hadn't anticipated come about. So, you know, it's one of those for people listening, if you're out there and you're hesitating, you know, just go ahead and jump in and do it, because yes, there'll be critics, but there are, generally speaking, there will be far more people that will be helped and assisted by your one's words than not. So so that's real important. And then once you do that, you recognize that your experience then has new meaning, you know? I mean, beyond kind of helping you recognize your worth, your self-worth, your meaning, it goes beyond that, you know? And that in itself is new meaning. So, I mean, it's kind of funny, you know, that, you know, I mean, when it comes down to kind of putting yourself out there, it's, you know, there's that push and pull that a lot of people go through. But, and I'm glad that, you know, you've had good experiences with that. And you know, and also when you do something like this, like you say, when you put it out there, that's not the end of it. I mean, you go on people's radio shows and you have to talk about it. It's like, oh my God, I'm talking
Absolutely.
About it again.
Absolutely.
But go ahead.
Yeah, with what you just said, it just sparked something. That is a journey in and of itself, because what's funny is I attach meaning to publishing the book, and I was like, okay, now that I publish the book, I'll really be at peace, and I will feel that I've accomplished what I came here to do. And was I in for a rude awakening when I had that mindset? Because it was a gift publishing it. Yes, it was a huge gift. But each time that I'm invited to do a show, each time that I'm invited to talk about my book or go and promote myself, that just brings up a whole nother layer of self-worthiness. And that's mm-hmm. one thing that I have struggled with in my past is that self-worth. And I still do. I mean, I thought just when you publish a book, it's all fine and dandy after that. But really, it's the journey in and of itself, and the promoting yourself, that feels very vulnerable. And I'm sure other people can relate, but what I want to say is if you have something to share that you feel the world would benefit from, or even that, not even the world benefiting from it, but that would bring you healing within yourself, just go out there and do it despite the reservations within yourself. Believe in yourself, cheer yourself on, and sit back and really reflect on the deeper meaning of what that experience is inviting you to see within yourself. Because I thought publishing a book, I would, you know, I guess I could say that I had high hopes that it would become a bestseller. It hasn't yet. It's very, very few sales and everything as of yet. But that's a gift as well, because that's inviting me to see the barriers within myself that are keeping it from manifesting into something that reaches more people. So basically, I just have to get out of the way so it can reach more people.
Yeah, I know. I know what that's like. I know what it's like, because I've got self-published a few books myself. But you know, and you do have that visions of grandeur, you know, or at least you know something a little bit bigger than it was. But you know, once you recognize that, I mean, first of all, the purpose of the words that you wrote was really for you, and for you to get through that period, you know, and that in itself as an end result is worth doing, you know,
absolutely.
That by itself. So then, you know, then if you want to take it to that next level and publish and, you know, and create a little bit more vulnerability, you know, and that kind of thing and continue that, that's a choice to be made. But I, you know, what I have, you know, really come to, accept is that, you know, the purpose of the book, you know, that I wrote was just for me to express myself, you know, and then, you know, having other people have positive, you know, experiences with it is icing on the cake. You know, that's kind of like, so now, I wanted to say something about poetry. For people out there who feel that that maybe poetry is something that is not that maybe might be too hard or might just be kind of something not in their wheelhouse, what do you say to those would-be poets that are listening?
Poetry is so flexible, and it really is about your self-expression and just allowing your soul to come through. Really, when I learned about poetry in my younger days and through college and high school, it was very structured back then, and there were a lot of rules. But as soon as I allowed myself to just write from my heart is when the inspiration and the poems flowed. It's when we get stuck in that mind of it has to be a certain way or the should or should not, that kills creativity. And so if you just allow yourself to express yourself, express your heart, express your soul, don't care what it looks like, you know, just allow it to flow, then that's where the magic happens.
Yeah. You know, I have to tell you a real quick story. I had, I was writing, the latest book I did is called The Heart and Soul of Caring. And it's about caregiver stories, you know, from listeners or from people I know who are caregivers. And just the, you know, the whole idea was for people to write about the essence of the person for whom they were caring, and then the pluses and minuses and the joys and challenges of being a caregiver. And I was right in the, you know, in the middle of writing, or actually I was assembling what I had already received, and at the end of each story I was putting just my reflection, you know, of story and things learned and that kind of thing. And one night I a friend of mine had a radio show, and I was kind of just tuned in, and I was just listening. And she had an intuitive person on there, kind of talking to people. And when I called in, I was just calling in to listen. Well, my friend just put my microphone on, and it was like, there I am. I said, well, I was just listening, really, the person was talking about, I'm not sure if they knew that I was writing the book or not, but anyway, she had said to me, have you considered poetry and writing poems? And I was like,
oh, wow.
No, that's like, you don't know who you're talking to. So anyway, she kind of just planted that seed. That was something for me to think about. Well, as I was going through, one of the stories was my sister's story of being a caregiver for my mother's in her final days. And as I was reading the story, I thought, this might be one that I would want to try to do a poem. About. And you're right I was in my head a lot trying to, get the right words and get the right length and do a little bit of rhyme. It was doing all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh God, this is just not right. So one night I just had my guard down I felt that it was, my mother was like, in spirit, right there with me, and kind of like, okay, this is what we're gonna do, and then it flowed, like you said, and it was it was within 5 minutes, I had what I thought, captured the essence of that situation with my sister and my mom, I was pleased with that. I kind of patted myself on the back, and of course, the next time that friend was had a show with that same person, and I called back and guess what I did, it was you're so right that it is really important especially when it comes to poetry to not try to force anything and to kind of allow something to flow.
Absolutely, that is my best. Poems are the ones where I was in that space of flow. And it's so interesting when you're in that space, literally it just comes out of, like, you type it out and it flows, and it's like maybe 5 minutes. Like one of my poems for sure, or a few of my poems for sure, were like that. And they just carry such a higher vibration. And it's interesting to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Well, do you have is there a poem maybe, or part of a poem that you might want to share with us?
Absolutely. Let me open my book. So I feel like this one is the right one to share. So this one's about rejection, and I believe it's something we all face in our daily lives. And this is a poem that really flowed for me when this subject came up within myself, this issue within myself. So I would like to share this one. So it's called Rejection is Merely an Invitation. Especially when you reject me, I see this as a most blessed gift, an invitation. For no one is to blame. There is a lesson in the rejection, often obscured by the external battle of proving one's worth. Oh, beloved, this is illusion. As within, so without. I accept this invitation and I dare to pull off the veil of inauthenticity. I realize this circumstance is seeded by my doubts of my own self-worth. And this one who rejected is merely shining a light that penetrates to my core, to our hidden, non-loving aspects of me. How grateful I am to this one for being the catalyst for me to proclaim this day, I am worthy, I am loved. To delve into my own heart and soul, unearthing all non-love within me. so that I may refine, heal, and become ever closer to embodying the Creator's perfect love. I am a champion of the light, and each day I choose to delve deeper and deeper into my heart to become greater love.
Wow. I like that. I mean, that's a perfect poem for someone who is experiencing rejection. I mean, truly. I mean, you captured in the beginning what the essence of it is, and then end it with how to change that perspective. You know, to have a positive perspective,
yeah.
Have a positive outcome. That's great. I like that one.
Thank you.
Well, we are toward the end of the show. So just real quick, if there is a listener out there who may be facing some darkness or pain, do you have any advice that you might want to give them to help them through that?
Yes. So what I would like to do for this question is read a part of the poem called Bringing the Shadow Sides Home to Reign as the Sun. And this one was one I wrote when I was really facing darkness and pain within myself. And this is your little excerpt of the poem, but I'll share it with you. Will I ever fall in love with life to write a story of love, grace, beauty, and magic? Instead of writing and rewriting the story of fear, collapse, struggle, and shame, will the light aspects of me ever reign to create my dream? God, please, what do I do? Embrace the hurt, embrace the fear, embrace the pain, embrace the shadows. Befriend and love these shadows parts of you. These parts, my love, are where the gift lies. Instead of shunning and trying to rid of, embrace, accept, and nurture. Listen and love. This will open the door to bring these shadow sides home to reign as the sun.
That's great. Well, that is wonderful. That's wonderful advice. Well, Jesse, I really want to thank you for your time today. I've enjoyed speaking with you, and I think you've given me and the listeners some really good things to think about and ways to handle that dark night of the soul, which we all will experience at some point in life. So thank you very much for spending your time with me today.
Thank you, Robert. It's been such a pleasure. And one last thought that I would like to share with everyone is just remember that you are your purpose just as you are where you are, and that everything in your life is unfolding perfectly. Even if you cannot see it, it does not change the fact that you matter and that you are just as important and loved as everyone else.
That's perfect. What a perfect close. Thank you very much for your time, Jesse.
Thank you, Robert. Have a great night.
Thank you. You as well. Again, everyone, today my special guest has been J.S. Drake. We've been talking about her new book, May I Only Leave Rose Petals. Again, her book is available from Amazon.com, and soon she will be having the website, www.thisroaditravel.com. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Remember, our show is available as a free podcast from Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. To follow our show, visit our homepage at biteradio.me and select the platform you use most. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Byte Radio Me. Until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.